listening to Forecast, the marketing podcast for professional services leaders. If you're looking to generate more leads, win more deals, and take your firm to the next level, this show is your shortcut.
Hey there, and thank you for tuning in to Forecast. In today's lesson, I'm going to show you how to figure out what your buyers want. And I don't mean what services they want or what they want to buy. I mean what they really want to achieve through the purchase of your services. But before we get into that, if you haven't yet joined us inside our free course on the 5 P's of lead generation for professional services firms, you're going to want to check that out. You can get immediate access to the entire course over at 5leadgen.com. That's 5leadgen.com. And you can spell out 5 or use the number. Either one works. So way back in 2005, I picked up this book by an author that you may have heard of named Seth Godin. The book was called All Marketers Are Liars, and this is before it was later renamed to All Marketers Tell Stories, because apparently people couldn't get past the title. And to be honest, this book sat on my shelf for about 10 years before I finally picked it up and read it, and boy do I wish I had read this book 10 years ago. I'll spare you the summary because you can get that elsewhere, but I do want to share with you one powerful story from the book. So in the book, Seth Godin shares a framework for thinking about why people buy things. What is going on in the buyer's mind when they make a purchase? What's compelling them to buy? What is their motivation? See, a lot of times we just assume that people make purchases for purely rational reasons. In fact, most of modern economic theory is based on the premise that the human being is a rational animal. But when you dig deeper into buyer psychology, you will find quite a different story. Buyers are often completely irrational in their purchasing decisions. So here's a story from the book that really illustrates that point. Seth Godin shares a story of a company called Rydell, which is a company that makes very expensive, hand-blown wine glasses. Rydell prides itself on having the right glass with the right shape for any wine. And their website states that the delivery of a wine's message, its bouquet, and its taste depends on the form of the glass. It is the responsibility of the glass to convey the wine's messages in the best manner to the human senses. Now that sounds like an incredible story. It's a beautiful story. It is an appealing story, but I don't buy it for a second. There is no rational argument that can convince me that the shape of a glass can affect the taste of a beverage. It just doesn't make any logical sense. The glass doesn't affect the composition of the wine. It doesn't change the temperature. It doesn't actually do anything to the beverage itself. It's just a container. And it turns out a group of researchers were just as skeptical as me about the claims that Rydell was making. So they conducted an experiment to see if wine drinkers in a double-blind taste test would prefer Rydell's glass over a no-name glass. And not surprisingly, there was no evidence to suggest that wine drinkers preferred the Rydell glass. So now we have scientific proof that the Rydell glass cannot in any way affect the taste of a beverage, and that a consumer does not prefer the Rydell glass when they don't know it's a Rydell glass. And yet, legions of people still believe it. And not just normal people, but even wine experts believe Rydell's story to be true. As Seth Godin quotes in the book, Robert Parker Jr., the king of wine reviewers, said that the finest glasses for both technical and hedonistic purposes are those made by Rydell. I cannot emphasize enough what a difference they make. So this is getting more and more impressive, because it's one thing for Rydell to convince a bunch of wannabe wine connoisseurs that the Rydell glass is superior to every other glass, but they've actually managed to convince expert wine reviewers, people who taste wine for a living, that wine tastes better in one of their glasses. So how exactly is this happening? To quote Seth Godin, why do wine experts insist that the wine tastes better in a Rydell glass at the same time that scientists can easily prove that it doesn't? The flaw in the experiment is that the reason wine tastes better is that people believe it should. See, when you believe something to be true, you will look for evidence to reinforce that belief and ignore evidence to the contrary. This is what psychologists call the confirmation bias. Rydell and other smart marketers know how this works, and they've deliberately crafted a story about their wine glasses that they know their audience will want to believe, and by believing it, the story becomes true. So the question that you need to be asking yourself is, what do your clients believe about you? What do they believe about your profession? What do they believe about the problem that you solve and the work that you do? Because your customers, just like Rydell's, are not a clean slate. They have all kinds of preconceived notions and beliefs and stories that they believe about the work that you do. So you have a choice to make. You can either ignore their beliefs and make a purely rational argument as to why they should buy from you, or you can embrace your buyer's beliefs. You can tell them a story that they want to hear. You can reinforce what they already hold to be true and then position yourself as the one and only choice for them. Let me give you an example that you can relate to. There is a design agency based out of New York City called Worst of All Design, who I've had the pleasure of working with. They're a small husband and wife team with a few designers on staff. And what they used to do is they used to try to compete for very large web projects and charge, you know, $40,000, $50,000. And these are the same projects that the big agencies typically go after. But what they found was that they were always struggling to compete with the big agencies who had bigger teams, bigger budgets, and more brand recognition than they did. So what they did was they pivoted their business model and they decided to cater to a segment of the market that was underserved, small or solo service providers. Now, this is a segment of the market that doesn't have a lot of great options when it comes to building a website. They're not going to pay a big agency $40,000 or $50,000, and hiring a freelancer can be a major hassle, especially if the buyer doesn't know anything about web design. And the smaller agencies, who are less expensive, also tend to produce cookie-cutter websites that all look the same in the end. So Worst of All stepped in and they said, you don't need to pay $40,000 for a website and you don't need to work with flaky freelancers either. There is a better way. We can build you a website in 2 days flat. It'll only cost you $10,000 or $15,000. But when we're done, you'll have everything you need. You'll have your design, your logo, your copy, your messaging. You will be ready to go out and start winning business. Now, that is a very rational offer. It is a great offer for the market or for the segment of the market that Worst of All is targeting, but that is not what they're selling. If you go to their website, you will find that all of their marketing focuses on this idea of how to make your brand badass. They sell the idea that any brand can be badass and any brand can stand out from the crowd, even yours. You just need to find your very own badassery. You need to find what it is about your brand, what it is about you that makes you different, that makes you unique. And then you need to communicate that to your buyers. And if you do that, you will win much more business. And that's the story that they're selling. Because as a client, you want to believe that you can be badass. You want to believe that you're different. You want to believe that you can stand out in the market and stand above all of your competitors because you are different. You are badass. And there's the magic. You have a compelling story that the buyer wants to believe, but the story is backed up by a rational value proposition that can help them make the story come true. And that makes for an incredible combination. So that's all for this lesson. Next up, we are going to explore a framework to help you craft your very own marketing story, just like Rydell and just like Worst of All Design did. So stay tuned for that. And if you haven't yet joined us inside our free course on the 5 P's of lead generation for professional services firms, you're going to want to do that right now. Head over to 5leadgen.com and you can get immediate access to the entire course free of charge. That's 5leadgen.com and you can spell out 5 or use the number. Either one works.